I want to talk today about, I think, a concept we're very familiar with and we encounter it every single year at the Seder. I think it might even be described as the goal of the Seder, if I were to be so bold. But I think it's really difficult to understand what it even means. And by that, I mean the quest, this quest to see ourselves on the night of the Seder as we had just left Egypt. Indeed, if you have the source sheet in front of you, if not, that's okay too. We read this at the very beginning of, or at the end of the Haggadah, at the end of Magid, we say, B'chol dar v'dar, in every generation, chayav adam lirot et atzmo, a person needs to see themselves, ki'ilu hu yatsa min Mitzrayim, as if they just left Egypt. Shene'emar, as it states, v'yigata levincha b'yom mehu lemor, you should tell your child on that day, saying, for this, Asa Hashem li b'tzeiti Mitzrayim, God performed for me when I left Egypt. And it's very inspiring. The Baal HaGadah continues, Lo atavotina levad gal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God did not only redeem our forefathers, Ela afotanu gal imahem, but he redeemed us as well. Shana Amar, as it states, Votanu hotzi misham, he took us out. To bring us to the land that he swore to our forefathers. There's this notion that we leave Egypt on the night of the Seder. It's not just retelling a history. It's present. We experience this. It's all very inspiring. Where do you see this from the verse itself? How is this clear? If you look in source number 2, the author of the Torah Tamimar, Baruch Epstein, points out that if you look in the context of the Psukim described in the Haggadah here in Shemot, in Parshat Bo, so God introduces this portion with the introduction of when you go to the land of Israel, this is what you're going to tell your children. And it's not true. It's simply not true that the people who actually reach Israel are the ones that personally experienced leaving Egypt, right? We know the generation that left Egypt was wiped out in the desert, and the next generation is the one that reaches the land of Israel. Therefore, when it says, you shall tell your children, this is what Hashem did for me when I left Egypt, it means even a generation which didn't personally leave Egypt should see themselves as if they had actually experienced the Exodus. And this is the proof text. I have a simple question on this idea. And the question is, what does this mean? How are we to interpret this? We didn't just leave Egypt, did we? I mean, I didn't personally. I lived in America and Canada my whole life. Actually, Zahava and I, our first teacher, both came from the same place in New Jersey. Never been to Egypt, never plan on going. In fact, you're not supposed to go back to Egypt. Actually, just as an aside, I had a friend who was in the army, in the Israeli army. And he was stationed right near Egypt around Pesach time. So we were joking that you can really personally fulfill this mandate of seeing yourself as if you just left Egypt, because he literally was right near Egypt. But for those of us who aren't in the Israeli army and have not just left Egypt, why are we pretending? Like, why should we see ourselves as if we just left Egypt if we didn't? And lest you think that I am heretical by asking such a question, what do you mean? Of course, we just left Egypt. I'm not the only one who has this question. In fact, a very prominent Rosh Hashiva had the same question. I'll just introduce it to you if you look in your source sheet in source number 5. In source number 5, we have a selection from Rabbi Simcha Zissel Ziv, also known as the Altar of Kelm. A very prominent rabbi in the 19th century in Lithuania, one of the Baalei Musar, the forefathers of the Musar movement, the movement that works on ethical improvements. And he says as follows, commenting on this notion of seeing ourselves as if we left Egypt. I'll read the English. I have always been distressed by this. How can a person observe this halacha? How could anyone even think this? Did they not say it's obligatory? They say chayav, obligatory. And wherever they said obligatory, it's obligatory. How can a person observe this halacha that in his eyes he came out of Egypt? According to my poor condition and my humble understanding, it is impossible for a man to think this in his eyes, such as he himself came out of Egypt. And if there's one person, one great person at this level to think so, how will this halacha be judged for all? If you're not one of these unique people who has the powerful imagination to see themselves that they actually left Egypt, what are we supposed to do to fulfill this mandate? That's what I'd like to contemplate with you this morning. How should we understand this notion of seeing ourselves as if we personally left Egypt? And then I think that all of these answers are not exclusive. They think they're all correct and they build upon each other. But I would posit before you that these are not the types of answers that you just give. This isn't a question that you ask the question, you have a one-sentence answer, poof, move on. These are the types of things we need to reflect upon, reflections that we need to have in our minds and on our hearts as we experience this holiday of Yetziat Mitzrayim, as we experience what it means to leave Egypt, to experience the Exodus. We need to be thinking about how can I do the best that I can to see myself as if now in the 21st century in Toronto or in America or wherever you are, that I am now experiencing Yetziat Mitzrayim. And that's why I like to folk study with you and offer a few perspectives this morning. And before I begin to offer some of those perspectives, does anyone want to jump in, offer any thought as to what it could possibly mean to leave Egypt in the 21st century? Go for it. Yeah.
So I would suggest that it's the experiential, that the idea of moving from slavery, from avdut to freedom, and then to freedom to serve God,
that's right. So you're suggesting taking the notion of slavery to freedom and seeing it not necessarily as relegated to literal slavery, but as a certain extra freedom to serve God, and we also experience that in a sense. Okay, that's beautiful. I'd like to build upon that.
I'm saying is experiencing that experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim, not the literally leaving physically Egypt, and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Right. Okay. I didn't realize. Apparently, one second. I was just told I should let people in, and I don't know. I don't see anyone trying to get in, so I hope there isn't a problem with the room. I know Dai experienced that before.
You could make somebody else a host, and yeah, they I'm might gonna, watch.
Gonna do that actually. Sorry about this. Okay. Okay, but I really like that. Okay, so we have to rethink this notion of it's not about the physical experience leaving Egypt; it's the spiritual experience. Might be worth defining that spiritual experience a bit. What does it mean to have a spiritual experience of leaving slavery and going to freedom? So that's what I want to think about. And if anyone else wants to jump in, please do. I want to go from probably the most practical and exoteric to more theoretical, abstract, and esoteric. That's what we're going to do this morning. So I think the first one to really sort of hit this question head on was the Rambam. Rambam famously makes a little bit of a switch here in the words, and I'm sure we're familiar with this. You look in source number 3, it says the Rambam, V'chol dor v'dor chai v'adam leharot etz atzmok iluhu yatzam Mitzrayim. And every generation, a person is obligated, not lirot, which would mean to see, but laharot, to make others see, to show themselves as if they left Egypt. And this sort of connotes a certain physical manifestation, representation of an experience, to do things physically, to do things in terms of the way that your Seder looks, to dress in a certain way. Everyone always loves to quote the custom that some have to take the matzot on our shoulders and walk around the Seder table. That beyond simply going through the motions of the Seder, to actually physically manifest this freedom is what the Rambam is getting at here, to do something about it, such that what the Baha Gada is saying is you need to act it out. You need to make it real. You need to make it tangible as you experience the Seder. And the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, comments to this effect in source number 4. He says as follows. I'll read my translation. Merely thinking and establishing in one's heart as if one left Egypt to the point of happiness is insufficient. It doesn't cut it to simply sit there and say, I'm so happy, I am leaving Egypt, it's Pesach. No. Rather, a person needs to demonstrate through enthusiastic physical motions so that all present know and recognize that he acts for the sake of heaven that day. We learn this in the verse, and you shall tell your child on that day, saying, for this Hashem did for me. Generally, when we use the word for this, this connotes pointing to something visible. For this, which means that you have to actually physically manifest this, to show, to do something that your children can see. My father notes in the chat, halacha mandates reclining, and all the things that we do during the Seder, the nice silverware, the reclining, on the night of the Seder specifically, we emphasize having a nice, lavish meal. Everything we do is an expression of this notion of physically demonstrating a feeling of freedom. So that's one approach. I don't think it's sufficient on its own, meaning it's nice to sort of have the show and tell, to show, to physically put on a certain costume or whatever it is. But what are we getting at? It's still sort of like pretending, unless we build upon this. And I want to now go to the approach of the author of Kelm, which I mentioned before, was very bothered by this. And the author of Kelm says something I think similar to what Rebecca was saying, but says that we shouldn't take this notion of leaving Egypt literally, meaning the experience of the Seder is not simply about remembering, but it's supposed to have an impact. And I think every holiday, this is so, that when we experience the holidays, the Regalim, whether Pesach or Sukkot or Shavuot, we're meant to take away from each holiday a spiritual experience. It's supposed to impact who we are. It's supposed to focus us in a certain perspective in our religious life, to affect our spiritual persona. And what Simcha Zitzel Ziv Brody, the Alter Akam, suggests here is that in order for it to have that impact, for the night of the Seder to impact you in a real way, that you're not the same person before the Seder as you are afterward, requires a lot of work. And in order to make that happen, we make use of our imagination. And that's what the Baal Haggadah means here, that you need to unlock the power of our imaginations on Seder night to make it seem real, to think as hard as we can what it would feel like to actually leave Egypt. I'll read the second snippet of this paragraph in English here. And behold, in source number 5, behold, the main idea of the commandment of Passover and the memory of the exodus from Egypt is only so that we become clear to a person the notion of a reward and punishment. Meaning, what are we supposed to take away from the Seder? That Hashem is running the world. He's intimately involved in world events. He has his hand guiding history. And we're supposed to see that not that just happened thousands of years ago, but right now, in my current reality, in some way, as hard as it is to see sometimes, God is intimately involved guiding things. But we need to make that impact on our souls to really internalize that. And how do we see this? For it became clear that the world has a leader and an overseer during the Exodus. And the Egyptians were punished for the malice of their hearts. And he did good to his people Israel because they returned to him. And they kept his watch and cried out to him. Hashem punishes the Mitzrim. He redeems Israel. Because of, this is a really interesting notion, that we returned, we did tshuva, and God responded to that. And what he says is, it's impossible on a simple level for something which happened so many years ago to have an impact. It's nice to say, reawaken yourself to the notions of reward and punishment. But if it happened thousands of years ago, okay, it's not going to have an impact. Therefore, the sages advise us to bring the events close to our feeling, meaning to imagine clearly what we would think if we were slaves and were free from slavery. We would contemplate the greatness of the master who brought us out and dedicate ourselves and everything we had to the master forever. Through this image, the remembrance of the Exodus will make a strong impression, meaning it's about unlocking the feelings, unlocking the emotional parts of ourselves, that even though we are right, we didn't just leave Egypt, but if we imagine, if we pretended that we did, what would that feel like? What would it feel like to just now become free? And if we can unlock those feelings, then we can have this spiritual transformation, this new appreciation of God's intervention into the world, the history. And I love this following line from Maharal, who I think speaks to a really important and profound educational insight, which is that we have so many things you want to teach, generally and specifically in the night of the Seder. Night of the Seder is a night of education. It's a night of accessing our traditions and giving it to our children and grandchildren. How do we do that? How do you make it relevant to a child, to a grandchild? And what the Maharal says is that you need to make them feel it in a sensory way. That in order for people who are just beginning in their Jewish education to make it real for them, they need to feel something. And that's what we're doing in the Night of the Seder. Says the Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lov, 16th century Prague, source number 6. He's commenting on this notion of beginning with questions. Begin with Manish Tana Halayla Zemikol Alelo. Why? We all know the answers. And yes, it's nice for the children to memorize it in school and they get a prize. It's beautiful, but they know the answers too, right? So what are we doing here? And he says, Hayadia he nicknames min hamurgash el hamusko. Knowledge is acquired from the sensory and flows to the cognitive. We have to sense something's wrong. We have to sense something's different. The Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev writes how on the night of the Seder, all of us need to feel like this confused sort of wonder, child in wonder, what is happening? Something is different tonight. And by doing that, we can unlock this deeper contemplation. And I love this next line. The mitzvos, all commandments, all the things that we do are like a ladder. All the things we do, we eat matzah, we eat maror, we take lulav and etrog, we light Shabbat candles. All of those physical actions are all there to awaken this inner consciousness, to awaken the imagination, to sensitize our inner world to the deeper ideas of Judaism. So that's the first approach is, you're right, we didn't leave Egypt, but we should pretend that we did so that we can experience the spiritual transformation that God wants us to on the night of the Seder. A second approach is similar, and again, but I think it focuses less on the imagination and more on the eternal impact. The argument is as follows. You're right, we didn't just leave Egypt, but we do experience the impact that this monumental event in our history had upon our people. For although it was only our forefathers and foremothers that walked out of Egypt, but the impact of God choosing our nation, revealing himself through the 10 plagues to our people, that has reverberated throughout the generations. And it's that eternal impact that we need to tap into on the night of the Seder. As such, we should see ourselves as if we had only just now left Egypt. And the first approach will represent in this vein is that of Rav Kook in source number 7. Rav Kook here comments on the imagery of Zroa Netuya, where we describe Hashem taking us out of Egypt with an outstretched arm. What is the notion of an outstretched arm? Why do we describe Hashem in that way? Obviously, it's not meant to be taken literally. He doesn't actually have an arm. But what's the idea of this outstretched arm? And Rav Kook argues is that the arm, Hashem's arm, as it were, is stretched throughout history. That in granting us these miracles of the Exodus, that has an impact in every generation. And every generation unlocks some of the inspiration of the Tzia Mitzrayim a bit more. And it's incumbent upon each generation to unlock a bit more of that divine light that was revealed when Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Says Rav Kook here in source number 7, in every generation, the person needs to see themselves as if they had just left Egypt. With the strength of this outstretched arm. To bring out into actuality at this exalted virtue, ma'at ma'at, bit by bit, b'chol dor v'dor, in every generation. Every person needs to complete to bring out this virtue that we were granted at the time of the Exodus according to their level. And I think this is very profound in that the impact that the Exodus has on the Jews who lived at the time of the Exodus versus the impact it should have on the Jews who lived a few hundred years earlier versus those who left, as we described earlier, Persia, or those who left Babylon, or those who were in Europe. The impact is different for every single generation. And it's upon each of us to bring out that impact. And in this vein, let me quote something that I heard last night. Zahava is really wonderful at leading another program in our Shul Shaarei Shamayim, where we have the women share Torah every single Rosh Chodesh. And last night we got to hear from Raquel Goldberg, and she suggested that this notion of seeing yourself as if you left Egypt means that we have to bring in our own Pesach experience into this unfolding story throughout history. That our experience at the Seder is also part of the ongoing story of Yetziat Mitzrayim, such that, again, this Zroa Netuyah, that you're right, Hashem took only that generation out, but there was so much spiritual energy that was latent in the world, and we have to reveal it. And so that's how he understands this notion of Chayav Adam Lerot Etatzmo, that a person needs to see themselves. Briefly, let me comment on source number 8 over here from Rav Nosson of Breslov, also known as Nathan Sternholtz. He was one of the leaders of the Hasidic community, the Talmud of Rav Nachman of Breslov. And of course, if you know Breslov a little bit, they're always focused on being happy. No matter what happens to you, always need to be happy. And this is indeed his focus here. And he writes that often people are so bogged down by their search for a livelihood and by the challenges of the exile. And there's so much stress and everybody's always so uptight. And he says, there is a certain virtue of sadness in doing tshuva. If you're sad about what you've done wrong, and propel you to greater spiritual heights. But nowadays people aren't ready for that. And we shouldn't be sad, because sadness generally can be destructive and lead to despair. And it's to combat this despair, this feeling of lack of hope, that we try to bring about this constant exodus in our lives. And here Nutzen writes, "Kitzrichin lashum elibo." These ideas need to be brought to one's heart. Laskir atzmo heitev, to remember, to remind oneself, well, kol ha'chasadim ha'nifla'ot sha'asa imanu b'hotzianu mi'mitzrayim v'natamanu v'torato. To remember all the miracles that Hashem did for us when He took us out of Mitzrayim and He gave us the Torah. This gives us an eternal hope, each one of us. In every generation, a person needs to see themselves as if they had just left Egypt. Meaning he speaks to the Jew sitting there, let's say in the shtetl in Europe, and he or she it's hard, and we don't have autonomy, and it's hard to make a living, and people ridicule us, and we're persecuted, and what hope is there? And Rabbi Nosson says, it can't be that God did all of this to us for nothing. It can't be that He took us out of Egypt and did all these miracles for us for it to stop, and for us to be left in exile eternally. That can't be. And that He did all these things, took us out of Egypt, and Torah, and gave us Torah, and brought us close to the truly righteous in every generation. That kindness that Hashem granted to us certainly will last forever. For the matter of our God stands forever. The Gamatai now too, who Ose Imanu Nisiv Niflao Bachol Yom Vayom. He does miracles for us every day. Mashanu Zochim Lachto Bachol Yom Kama Mitzvot. But Sitzid, Utfilin, Ukriyat Shema, every day we can do mitzvot. Every day we can still connect to God, regardless of what's happened to us. So there's what to be happy about. We should still be hopeful. Anu Bituchim Mechapim Mitzapim Nishua Bachol. We're hopeful and we wait and look towards salvation every time. Ultimately, it will come. It will not be delayed. There is still a hope for our end. Meaning, Rav Nachman sees in the story of the Exodus that it's not just the kindness that God did to us then, but it's the everlasting kindness that He performs for us in every generation. And the goal of Seder night, when we say we should see ourselves as if we had just left Egypt, is to be attuned, to be sensitive to the kindness that Hashem continues to perform for us, so that we don't despair, so that we don't give up hope, because that impact is indeed eternal. And finally, I'll just note briefly here the approach of Rabbi Yaakov Lorberbaum In his Ma'aseh Nisim, the author of the Sivot HaMishpat, which is a really important work on business law, also has a really great work on the Haggadah. And he notes the following. It's interesting. We make a few different brachot on miracles, right? When we light the Hanukkah candles, what do we say? Sha'asa Nisim la'avotenu be'amimahem bazman hazeh. He performed miracles for our forefathers in these days at this time. It's only on Pesach that it's lanu v'la'avotenu. Usually when we recount miracles, we don't say it's for us and for our forefathers. And even within the Seder itself, he points out, when we make the bracha on the Nisim, we put our forefathers and foremothers first, right? La'avotenu v'lanu. That's what we usually say. However, at the end of the Haggadah, when we make a bracha on the Geula, on the redemption, what do we say? Asher Ga'al Osanu V'avosenu Mimitzrayim. He redeemed us first and our forefathers. We put ourselves first in that blessing. Why do we do that? Rabbi Yaakov Lorberbaum suggests because the geula, the redemption, is not simply, as Rebecca pointed out before, not simply walking out of Egypt. Geula means Hashem chose us and forged an eternal relationship with us. He said, "You are my nation." And that bond is equally impactful in every generation. It's equally impactful in our generation too. And therefore, when we say one should see themselves as if they had just left Egypt, it means to be sensitive to the bond that we forge with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which continues to last until today. So this is all under the approach of, yes, you're right, we didn't literally leave Egypt right now, but the impact that the Exodus had on us is just as impactful today. And we need to be sensitive to that impact and to appreciate it. And therefore, we should see ourselves on the night of the Seder, and maybe every day, as Rav Nassan is suggesting, as if we had just left Egypt. So now let's move to the esoteric. Let's get a bit more abstract and a bit deeper here. And again, these are ideas that to fully understand requires deep contemplation. I don't think it's the type of thing. I would say the Rambam, in describing understanding the deeper wisdom, says that some things are taught just by verbally. You tell someone how to do it. I can teach you how to do yacha, to take two, take the matzah, you split it into two, you take the bigger piece, you put it in the bag. But to teach some of these deeper ideas, you just get flashes. You get flashes of inspiration. And every once in a while, you understand it a bit more deeply. And I think these are the ideas that requires that sort of patience in understanding them. We move to the next idea, which is the notion of transcending time. And there are certain ideas that are so monumental, certain experiences that are so important that they continue to take place throughout history. And they're not bound by time and place. That they're still happening, as it were, the spiritual force that came through those events still occurs today. That on the night of the Seder, we still experience the Yitziat Mitzrayim. And this is what the Maharal writes in source number 10, not just about Yitziat Mitzrayim, but also about other events as well. The Maharal here begins with a quote I didn't bring for you about receiving the land of Israel. There's a pasuk in the Torah that describes how Hashem gives us the land of Israel. And Chazal say that every single day we should view it as if we just received the land of Israel, right? So it's not just Yitziat Mitzrayim that we need to re-experience every generation. It's also Yom Ha'atzma'ut, or but obviously thousands of years beforehand, that every single year we just received Israel. And it's not just that, says the Maharal in source number 10. Vim tomar lama yielo kiliyom nesana. Why? Why should it be that it's as if it was just today that he gave it to you? Huinokach, it's not true. Hare lo natana lo bo to ayom. He didn't just give you the land of Israel. In fact, he promised it to us thousands of years ago. The sages say this all the time. Gabi Torah. That we say in Shema every day. Asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. That I am commanding to you today. Why today? Say Chazal, because it should be as if God commanded you the entire Torah. You experienced divine revelation at Sinai just today. And our topic, in every generation, a person can see themselves as if they had just left Egypt. But the main reasoning we said earlier, certain things which are so important in their level, because of the greatness of their spiritual level, they don't fully fall under the rubric of time. We mentioned to you before that when Israel left Egypt, we cleave to this high, lofty spiritual level. It's above the realm of time. And I'll bring you here in source number 11, Yechiel Michal Epstein, author of the Aruch HaShulchan, he comments on a bracha we make after Haftorah. After the Haftorah that we say, after the regular Torah reading on Shabbat, we make a few brachot. One of them is that we mention the words, Davar achad midvarecha achor le'yashiv rikam. Not one of your words, Hashem, should return empty-handed. Ask the Aruch HaShulchan, certainly, you can't tell me it simply means that your words are going to come true. We're not making a bracha that Hashem's prophecies are going to come true. Of course we believe that. Rather, he says it's deeper than that. He says here, Avala emet de gam ha'avar adayin notzeitz b'chol eit b'chol zman. That the truth is that the past still shines through at all times. The past doesn't fully end. K'mo yitziyat Mitzrayim, as in the Exodus, sh'b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam, l'rot et atzmo kili yatzam Mitzrayim. Then every generation, one is supposed to see themselves as if they left Egypt. And therefore, Yetziat Mitzrayim happens at all times. It's still happening. All the words of the prophets that already happened, lo avru v'lo yamru, they didn't fully pass. But they continue to shine through at each and every time. So there are certain events that we're meant to experience at all times. And as Shana points out in the chat, that maybe in this way, it's a certain kiyum, manifestation of the requirement of imitatio dei, of imitating God, as it were. That Hashem transcends time. And then on the night of the Seder, we too, in some way, should reach to transcend time, that we move beyond simply the things, the breakup of past, present, future. No, it's all one. In this vein, I'd like to bring another comment of the Maharal in source number 12, where the Maharal says that the meaning of leaving Mitzrayim every single year is a question of connecting to Klal Yisrael, the collective Israel. Point being that when God takes Israel out of Mitzrayim, Israel is not simply a collection of individuals, and it's not even merely the people who are Jewish at any specific time. But the nation of Israel encapsulates and spans generations. We are all part of one greater Klal Yisrael. We're meant to see ourselves as part of this one national story. And therefore, just as they experienced Egypt, we all experience the exodus from Egypt because we're all part of the greater collective Israel. Says the Maharal, the explanation is, in source number 12, that the Holy One, blessed be He, redeemed Israel as a collective. For when the Holy One, blessed be He, redeemed Israel, the redemption was for the sake of the Jewish nation, so that Israel wouldn't be under the dominion of Egypt. Therefore, the redemption was for the children, just as it was for the parents. The Holy One, blessed be He, wanted to redeem Israel collectively, and the name Israel applies equally to all of Israel. And it reminds me of that beautiful imagery of Sack, Rabbi Sack Zatzal, introduces in his book, The Scarlet Letter. There's this long Torah scroll that we're all writing together, that our forefathers and foremothers and our descendants are also equally writing. And each of us is writing our letter in that scroll. And we're all part of that one big scroll. Every letter in the scroll is witness to the exodus from Egypt. And finally, and maybe most profoundly, but again, quite abstract, is the notion that the Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi suggests in source number 13. And that is that the exodus from Egypt is not bound by time and place. In that, and as often is true with a Hasidic reading of a certain event, it's meant to be spiritualized. We shouldn't bind the notion of Yetzias Mitzrayim to any specific time and place. But we can all experience Yetzias Mitzrayim in our own way. How? Says the Baal HaTanya. V'hine b'chol dor v'dor v'chol yom v'yom, in source 13, in every generation, in every day, chayav adam lerot atzmo k'ilu hu yohata hayom mitzrayim, as if you left to Egypt today. Why? Because it's not simply the physical bondage of being enslaved by specific people that we need to experience, but rather a spiritual freedom. That freedom from freedom from our inhibitions, freedom from our bodily limitations. Yitziat nefesh elokit masar haguf. It is the exodus of the godly divine soul from the binds of the body. Mashcha dechivya, the binding that the serpent, the original serpent, binds us with. Lechal biyichud or einzuf baruch hu de'esak haTorah v'amitzvot bechlal. To be included in this endless light of God through our learning of Torah and our engagement in His commandments. And every time we learn Torah, every time we do a mitzvah, we are freeing ourselves from a certain type of bondage. We are trying as best as we can to connect to God and to be free from the physical temptations and limitations of this world, to be included in this endless divine light. And he says, this is why every time we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we end with Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because what Mitzrayim demonstrates is that if a person truly desires to, they can be truly free and connect to God, be part of this achdus, this unity of God that it's apparent in the world if we so desire to feel that. And so to briefly sort of reflect upon what we talked about today, this notion of leaving Egypt can be understood in many ways, but they're all meant to impact our spiritual personas, to impact our souls as we experience this holiday of Egypt. And it means demonstrating it in a physical way, as the Rambam discussed, acting it out, dressing the part, taking the matzah around the table, leaning, having a beautiful Seder table. It also means using our imagination, unlocking those feelings and thoughts and inspiration by really thinking as best as we can, picturing what it would mean to leave Egypt, even though, of course, we didn't. It means realizing that the impact of Yetzias Mitzrayim continues to unleash itself, continues to unleash a certain spiritual light on every generation. It means knowing that we're part of one greater collective Israel, that we're all part of this long Torah scroll that continues to write itself. And it also means that that we all have a certain bondage that binds us, certain inhibitions, certain limitations we put in ourselves. I can't do this. I can't do that because that's not who I am. And on the night of Leil HaSeder, we're meant to free ourselves from those bonds. We're meant to connect ourselves to God who is unlimited, not bound by time and place. So as we approach the night of the Seder, my prayer is and my blessing is that we all can unlock the spirituality and the meaning of the night of the Seder to really, truly, sincerely feel as if we had just left Egypt. Thank you very much for joining me today. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach and Chodesh Tov.
Thank you very, very much.